Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Come on.
I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Bob Wheeler. Bob, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Excellent. Let's do this. Bob is a CPA. He is a financial expert, a motivator, an author, and the founder of The Money Nerve. I'm excited to have you on. Bob, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, let's see. I'm a founding partner of Wheeler B CPA, CFO at the Comedy Store, and wrote a book called The Money Nerve. I've got a podcast, Money You Should Ask, and Funny Money. And I love to travel, so that's my story in the nutshell. Love animals, and I love doing what I do because I think so many people carry a lot of financial shame. And really, my goal has been to start conversations around money so that people could start to let go of that.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And now that you say that, Bob, I wonder if there's anybody out there that doesn't have some kind of financial shame if they really started putting pen to paper or dig through their past.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much money you make, whether you feel guilty about making too much or feeling bad that you don't make enough. I think everybody has some challenges.
And like anything else, if you do not address these, if you do not talk about them or think about them or try to get to the root of them, then they're never going to go away. It's going to be having an impact on you. You just maybe aren't realizing it.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people think that money is very black and white. I live in mostly gray. And even my editor of the book said, I'm not impacted by emotions when I make decisions. And I said to her, well, when you go out to lunch with your dad, who pays? She's like, oh, my dad pays. I'm his princess. What about your mom? What about with your mom? Oh, I pay for her because my dad left her. I feel so bad. And then she was like, oh, okay, I get it.
She really said, I'm not impacted by emotions when I make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. She believed it.
Right.
She believed it.
And that, you know what? And that's, I mean, the whole Daniel Kahneman, his work uncovered that 90% of the decisions we make are really based on emotions, particularly when it does come to money. So I shouldn't have been hard on that poor person. You know, I'm sure that everybody thinks, no, I totally make logical decisions about everything in my life.
Yeah. I mean, we want to think that we're in control and that we're working off the best information and we're being very logical. Money's emotional.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit more about your background. So did you go to school for accounting and got into public accounting?
I did not. I went to school to be a lawyer. Huh. And I took accounting and Latin to help my grade point. And because everybody does that, right?
Sure.
And I was just actually really good at accounting. And I always say I've been trying to get out of it ever since I got into it. It's just something that I did easy. It came easy to me. And so I decided, look, I met a lot of lawyers and I thought, I don't really like them. Mm-hmm. I think I'll do accounting. And it's just been my bread and butter. And it was interesting. I got my CPA license and was still making really bad financial decisions, even though I was helping other people make really good financial decisions. And I had to take a look at what was I doing and my own personal self-sabotage because people that were sort of less than entitled than me were making better financial choices than I was. And so that really started my own personal journey. And having a lot of friends in the creative world, their financial shame and their stories, and it really just got me diving into this financial therapy.
Nice. So this financial therapy, it's give us a sort of the Reader's Digest version of that, how it's different than what's been going on.
Well, for me, the financial therapy is starting to dig in, figuring out what our family background is, what our family history is, what we learned as children, because we make a lot of decisions today based on stuff we learned when we were 5 or 6, and really starting to look at culturally, did I grow up in a religious community? Were certain things told to me that I need to do? I have to work hard for my money. It can't come easy. And then really start looking at, am I ashamed to be successful? Is it okay to go for what I want? And then start to just become aware of our unconscious belief systems or our unconscious story so that we can then bring it to consciousness and then change the narrative.
Yeah. And that is that. That requires somebody who really wants to do the work, right? It's like you're talking about your friend who said, you know what, I don't make emotional decisions.
Right. Right. It is definitely not comfortable, and you definitely have to be willing to do the work. I mean, a lot of times I'll sit down with somebody that says they want to do the work, and the first question I say is, are you willing to be uncomfortable? And are you willing to do the work? And some people will say, no. And I'm like, we're done.
Yeah.
we're good. Can't help you.
So when you say, are you willing to be uncomfortable? What is that? How does that usually work out?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people want to think that, oh, let's just do this. It'll be comfy. But we're going to have to look at, where are the places where I lie to myself about my budget? Where do I lie about my spending habits? I might get confronted on some stuff that I don't want to acknowledge about myself. And unless we're willing to, you know, comb the closets and dust off the cobwebs and look at all aspects of ourselves, there's the part of me that wants to be super successful and have lots of money in the bank. It's not all of who I am, but there's a part that's very ambitious. Am I willing to acknowledge that I've got this piece of me that's ambitious? Some people will say, well, that's selfish. Okay, so am I willing to admit there's a place where I'm selfish? And being able to look at all that and just say, it's just a part of who I am. It doesn't make me good or bad, but it's going to get uncomfortable.
And why do people need to confront that?
Well, I think a lot of people have a story that that they're financial victims. You know, they're waiting for their ship to come in. And for me, it's like, let's get conscious and go out and build our own ships. Let's go out and be proactive and make what we want to happen. Because a lot of people, they're sitting there waiting for their to get recognized at work. They're waiting for something financial to happen to them. I'm amazed at how many people have inheritance as part of their financial package, what they're going to inherit from their family, and instead of taking a proactive approach. And so I think it's important for people that want to have the things they want in life and to go for the goals that they want to have and to have priorities that mean something to them, you have to get active and make it happen, not wait for it to happen.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of really important stuff there. But two, at least that really jumped out for me, two really important things is being really brutally honest with yourself and going back and really finding where you're carrying that shame, because that will then inform where it is that you're fudging your numbers or you're lying about your spending or your budget, whatever behaviors. You're doing that because and you're hiding it because you are ashamed of something in your past.
Right.
And you have to do that. If you're ever really going to move forward and live into your full potential and get out of that victim mentality. And then I think once you start doing that, then you can, I think, successfully move and really start to be proactive. And that's really where it kind of all comes together. I know for me, it took me doing that. I was always the guy that would sort of, clench my jaw down and try to run through walls. And I think you can have success there, but until I actually went through and looked into my past, that's when things really came together for me, or started to, rather.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, a lot of couples, when I say, do you talk about money? They think I mean, do you fight about money? Because they start with the premise that a conversation around money is conflict. And so a lot of couples don't have conversations around money. And like, that's key, right? Being able to communicate, hey, I want to spend more, or I want to save more, if your partner is doing the opposite. Getting in alignment so that you're a cohesive team. And I was doing this workshop where I had people do their budgets. And I told everybody, go home and talk to your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and ask them to weigh in. And the next week, this guy came back. He was in his mid-50s. He was, I got to share. And I said, what happened? He goes, well, I did what you said. I went back and I asked my wife what she thought about the budget. And she said, oh, my God, you finally decided to let me in the marriage. And he started crying because he realized he had put all of his projections of his first wife on his second wife. And they hadn't really been in a full relationship. And just asking that simple question changed the whole dynamic of their relationship.
Incredible, right? I mean,
yeah, simple question.
Yeah, but I mean, there's just not too many subjects that are heavier or harder to deal with than money. So asking the question, getting the conversation going, you know, starting going down that path. And to your point, you got to be uncomfortable, because I'm sure that once he ripped the Band-Aid off, everybody was able to sigh a great big sigh of relief.
Yeah. And it's interesting, when I have men's groups, most of the men in the beginning are all trying to posture like, I make more than you do. Nobody makes any mistakes. And then as they start sharing, they're willing to get a little more vulnerable. Right. But it's, I've got to be the breadwinner. I've got to be successful. And there's a lot of pressure. We don't run around saying, oh, I just filed bankruptcy and God, you should see my debt. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, we certainly do not do that. I think that's fascinating. The difference between men and women just in general, and certainly with money. So I've never had the experience of running some kind of a men's group where everybody was just together talking about finances. So is it just, we gotta figure out how to get one or two people to start sharing and to be vulnerable, and then sort of the dominoes fall?
Yeah, I think once people, like, I find if I start with a big group and say to everybody, hey, how does everybody feel about money? Nobody says a word. I try to start in small groups and build up the trust so that when we get to the bigger group, people feel like they have a couple of allies. But once I can get up and say, I didn't do it right, I made a lot of mistakes, that gives a lot of people permission to actually then admit that there's places where they have failed. You know, because I'll have clients say, you must think I'm an idiot, you must hate me and think I'm stupid. And I'll say, well, I'm actually able to help you because I actually made a lot of mistakes too. And so I can actually have compassion and empathy. And they're like, oh my God, because they're so afraid of being judged.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving people that permission and being vulnerable, that I think is such a key thing. So we're talking about, and you're talking about these heavy topics. You're jumping into finances and shame and emotions. How do you bring, obviously it sounds like you like to bring levity into the situation. How do you marry those worlds?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people that like to be very, like the secret, you know, I'm just going to meditate and things are going to come to me, which for me, it needs to be a little more grounded in reality. And then it's about honesty and actually, like, what's really going on. And so for me, I'm trying to, yeah, I know what the goal is. We want to save some money, or we want to put away, money for a house, or we want to save on taxes. But like, what's the truth of the situation? Because I used to give people advice and they would go out and do the exact opposite of what I thought was very fine, you know, sound financial advice. And so once I started realizing that people weren't operating from a black and white perspective, to really then just start to hold space to find out what's going on there. What's this bring up for you? Do you remember, is this a pattern? Do you remember, did your father say something? Did your mother say something? And really being curious. I think being curious when I'm in relationship with my clients is really important. because it gives them space to like that I'm actually trying to see them.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So for people who are listening and they say, you know what, I think that, yeah, I feel like I probably do have a ton of shame around certain aspects of money or that they could be thinking about different times growing up in their household. They had a ton of money or they didn't. People fought about it. Do you have advice for how people can start to sort of go down that path of looking and kind of uncovering those rocks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to do if you don't want to talk to somebody else is to just start journaling. Like, what are my memories of childhood around money? What were the messages that my parents told me? What were the messages I picked up? What do I know about my beliefs around gender and money? And really just start to look at that. Where did I grow up in terms of, was I the rich kid? Was I the poor kid at school? Was I on the free lunch? Was I chauffeured to school? Like, where did I fit in economically when I went to school? And just start to really look at the history. It will bring up a lot. And then get risky and ask a friend or ask your spouse or ask your boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, hey, can we explore some of this stuff? It's really scary for me, but wondering if you would be open to sharing some of your money mistakes or your money proud moments, and let's start having conversations.
Yeah. Do you think that people discount just how incredibly powerful that is to be able to talk about it?
I think they do. And what I find is when people actually start talking, at the end of every workshop that I do, whether it's a 10-week workshop or a weekend workshop, at the end, people will say, I thought I was the only one. I was so alone. And oh my God, now I know there's 20 other people that feel just like me. This is awesome.
Yeah. And that's just in this room. So imagine all the other people.
Exactly. I mean, almost everybody.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the stories that I hear and people share, you know, people that have had a lot of money and then they lose it all when they're like in high school, and then their parents tell them, you have to pretend like we're still rich because we can't let anybody know. Mm. And so they're running around trying to pretend like they're rich so they don't get shamed. And like just so many stories, and being able to just share that and like unload is such a relief for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely cathartic.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, Bob, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So I would say this is a great time to be looking at your budget and do an honest assessment. Like I would actually go in. A lot of people, when they have income, they round up. Income I round down. Expenses I round up. And then go through and see what expenses are actually serving your goals and your priorities. Are you paying for cable that you don't watch? Are you paying for a gym membership that automatically comes out? Are you sneaking candy bars or lottery tickets? And like get really, really honest about where's your money going and where's your money coming in? Because a lot of times people will say, oh, I don't have any money. And then, oh yeah, I get free gift cards, or I get a barter with somebody that gives me these great services. And I think people are just, they're in a story, and an honest budgeting actually helps you get really clear and gives you information then to make better choices.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Yes. I mean, those are the facts, and you got to know your facts. So I think that's excellent advice. Well, Bob, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
You can find me at themoneynerve.com, and we've got a website, we've got financial resources, we've got online courses. You can reach out to me via email. Happy to answer anything if people reach out. We just want to get the conversation started about money.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Bob your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to themoneynerve.com. Check out all the great resources that Bob has on the site. I will list everything and all the different places you can find them in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Bob.
Great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.